It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table. And in our Bible study segment today, our teacher, Connie Stanfill, is here. And we've got lesson number 29 in the Gospel of Mark. And this one's titled, Jesus Heals a Blind Man and Peter Confesses Jesus as the Christ. Connie, I have a feeling this one's going to be very powerful once again.
Oh, it is. And actually, we're coming to a turning point in Mark's Gospel. We've been seeing throughout the Gospel Jesus' authority over nature, over illness, over death, how he provides for people, how he teaches with authority. And now it's going to be more is going to be unveiled about who he is as the Messiah. And his disciples through Peter are going to acknowledge who he is as the Messiah, which is a really good thing. But first, we have one more account of a miracle about seeing. And this is going to remind us of what we've just been talking about, how the disciples were slow to see, slow to hear, slow to understand. And so this is a very interesting miracle. And I'm going to read just this miracle first, which is Mark 8, verses 22 to 26, and then we'll talk about it. And then we will do the next account of Peter proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. So here we are, 8:22. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit in his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees, walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." This is an interesting miracle. It's only recorded in Mark. It's the only miracle of Jesus that kind of had a two-part to it, where when Jesus said the word or touched someone, the miracle wasn't accomplished immediately. This has like two parts to it. And then also definitely in this miracle, the word seen and sight is very important, because 9 times that's mentioned in the original text. And so when Mark includes this in this area, it's really in this part of his gospel, it highlights the fact that Jesus' disciples have been the ones who haven't really been seeing clearly, even though they've been hearing and being with Jesus. So in verse 22, it says, and they came to Bethsaida. So they'd been on the western shore of Galilee. They had the confrontation with the Pharisees. And then Jesus sailed north on the Sea of Galilee back up to Bethsaida. And it says, some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And then it says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. So we see here Jesus is actively involved in this man's life. Man can't see Jesus because he's blind, but Jesus takes him by the hand and leads him. And then it says, and when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, again, we find Jesus doing things the blind man could sense. He can't see Jesus, but he can feel the spit. He can feel his hands. And so he knows Jesus is doing something to him, and obviously he can hear him. And he laid his hands on him. And then he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And this account isn't because Jesus can't fully heal somebody the first time. This is Jesus's teaching a lesson. And so he's asking the man, you know, "Is your sight restored? How well are you seeing? Do you see clearly?" And then it says, and he looked up the man and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." And so for this man in his healing, initially he didn't have perfectly clear sight. It was only partially there. And so he didn't fully get sight right then. And then it says, then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Really, what we're seeing is kind of an object lesson of what's been going on with the disciples. They've been getting a glimpse of Jesus. They're kind of getting some of it, but they don't see a clear idea of who he is. And so this blind man has his sight restored, and actually Jesus, as he continues to work in the disciples' lives, is going to bring them to greater understanding, greater sight also of who he is and what he does. Verse 26 says, and he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." And so again, Jesus didn't want this man to proclaim what he'd done and for the people to think of him as Messiah or healer in a way that wasn't going to advance his mission. And we're going to find from now on throughout the Gospel of Mark, Jesus' mission is going to be going to Jerusalem, to the cross, to die for our sins. We're now going to have Jesus and his disciples go to another area where they haven't been before. And he's going to do some teaching, and he's going to ask them some questions. And so I'm going to read this section of Mark, which is verses 27 through 30. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he said to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. So here, verse 27, we find out that Jesus then went away with his disciples to the north, to Caesarea Philippi, which is really more of a Gentile area. And this is Caesarea in the mountainous area of northern Israel. It's not the Caesarea that's on the sea, because the Philippi was a name given it by Herod Philip, who was the leader of that area. And then it says, on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And that's a really interesting question, because people are a little confused about who Jesus is. And the disciples reply what they've heard the people say. Some people say he's John the Baptist. John has already been killed. And so they think John the Baptist has come back. And others say Elijah. And that reminds us of the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, where it was prophesied that Elijah would come again, or someone like Elijah would come as the forerunner of the Messiah. And so people are looking for that person, and they're wondering if Jesus is that Elijah who's to come again, or another's one of the prophets, perhaps Jeremiah or one of the other famous prophets. Interestingly enough, when the people say that Jesus could be John the Baptist or Elijah or a prophet, they're actually seriously underestimating who he is, because he is God in the flesh. He's the Son of Man. He is the beloved Son. We've already heard that in Mark verse 1:11 at his baptism, how the voice from heaven, the Father's voice, said, "This is my beloved Son." And so the people are not understanding who he is. And for them to say he's any other person is a great dishonor actually to him. And then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And then we have Peter's answer. Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ." And here in Mark's gospel, which as best we know is from Peter's account to Mark, it's a very simple statement. You can sense that Peter is not drawing attention to himself or glamorizing it. In the other gospels, we find out that Jesus talks about how this was revealed to Peter by his father. And so it wasn't something Peter came up with on his own. This was God's revelation to Peter. And Peter, as a spokesman, the leader of the disciples, is really speaking for all of them, because they're coming to understand that. And then Jesus strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And the reason is the disciples are coming to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, the one God had promised to send, the one who was David's son who would rule. But even the disciples themselves at this point are still thinking that he's going to be the political ruler that's going to throw off the Roman yoke, and life is going to be wonderful because he's going to rule, and because they're his friends, they're going to rule with him. And Jesus doesn't want more people to misunderstand his mission and what's going on. Because as we see, as we go on in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to find out more and more Jesus came to be a suffering servant. He's not only the king who will rule and reign, but he's the one who came first to die for our sins. So interesting how Peter comes to this understanding, the disciples come to understand he's the Messiah, but then tomorrow we're going to find out how they still didn't quite get it, and he needed to teach them some more. So as we think about this lesson today, could we consider what the importance of how we clearly see who Jesus is, what his word tells us about him, and then really probably the most important question of all time for any person is to answer, who do you say that I am?
What a great question, and have we seriously underestimated who he is? All right, well, Connie, thank you so much. All of the notes for today's lesson are on our website at naomistable.com. More on this when we come back.